Welcome to the podcast, Restore Yourself, Restore Your Marriage, where it's all about discovering the thoughts that get you in the mode, the thoughts that get you out of the mode, and how creating a deeper connection with yourself creates a deeper connection with your spouse. I'm your coach, Shelley Anderson, coaching you through life, love, and intimacy. This is episode number 188. Five fears that prevent intimacy progress. Okay, so I really wanted to do an episode where I was able to kind of convey some of the fears that I see showing up for my clients and how it usually held off their progress for whatever amount of time, right? Sometimes years and years and years. And I wanted to bring these to the forefront so that we could put these fears to rest and say sometimes our brain can be very dramatic and really have fears that are, there's no foundation for them, right? It's just that we have a thought, it is a fear, and we allow our brain to just kind of run amok with it, believing that it is true. And then we don't get the help that we actually need in order to improve our intimacy. And so I wanted to really talk about that. And I will say that actually there are one or two that actually have some validity to them. And so those fears have some foundation, but also what can we do with those fears? So I'm coming from the point of view where I'm on the other side, right? Of clients who are like, I need help. Me and my spouse need help. We are struggling. Usually when they come to me, it's not because they had a problem last week. It's usually, hey, we've kind of had these issues. They've been going on for quite some time. We've tried one or two things maybe that we've read about on the internet or just our own thinking as a solution to how we might make improvements, but they haven't really been effective. And sometimes I get clients who are like, we are considering divorce, right? Because we don't think things can get better. So rather than address these fears and say, are these actual fears that we need to be concerned about? They just continue believing them. They stay stuck for way longer than they really need to stay stuck. So let's look into these, right? These fears are what is preventing progress when it comes to intimacy. It holds us back from getting the help that we need. So a lot of times, because we have fears, we don't know which fears are valid, which ones are not. It creates more confusion, more overwhelm, more fear. And so what we do is we just continue to stay stuck and not do anything. So this will just keep us in the negative cycle where if things aren't going well, they're just going to continue to not go well because we're not having any intervention with ourselves. We're not getting the help that we need. So what we need to do is just let's look at what these are, these top five fears. And this is from my experience, right? When I get clients, these are kind of the categories that their fears are falling into that have really prevented them from getting the help sooner. And the sad thing is they wish they would have gotten help sooner, right? Why do we continue to go on suffering for years and years and years when it comes to our marriage, our relationship, and intimacy when we actually can get help, amazing help? And that's usually something that my clients will say, oh, I wish I would have done this earlier, right? So we're going to talk about that and really set out an option for you to say, you know what, like I can get help now. I don't have to wait for years because we are going to really address these fears. Okay, so let's talk about these top fears. One of them is the frequency of sex, right? So usually I get couples or one of the spouses who's like, hey, my desire for sex is this, and my spouse's is this, and we are on opposite sides of the spectrum. And we have this fear that, let's say, maybe for a wife, if she's the one that is reaching out to me, that all of a sudden, the only solution is, hey, let's increase the frequency and let's just have more sex, right? So that the husband is satisfied, his sexual desire is satisfied, and then everything will be great, right? We actually have this fear. And on the opposite side, husbands are also fearful that, hey, if we get help, they're going to say, whatever your frequency is now, just lower it so that the wife is going to be happy and more at peace with the relationship. And that is going to be the solution. So because husbands don't usually like that idea of lowering the frequency, they don't want to get help when it comes to intimacy. So we have both the husband and the wife with their own fears related to frequency and what they think the solution might be if they get help. So they just decide not to get help. So what I want to offer is something totally different. Is that what if we just take the frequency component out for a minute, right? For a time and say that's actually not the solution, to just say only looking at frequency is the answer to everything. But instead of just focusing on quantity, let's focus on the quality, because usually that is lacking, mainly for the women, right? I love to bring out the fact that husbands and wives, we're pretty much having sex the same amount, right? We're having sex with each other, whatever that number is right now, per week, per month, it's the same. The main difference is the husbands are enjoying it, they're receiving pleasure, and the wives are not. It's not pleasurable, so they're having sex that sucks for them. So their desire for more sex that sucks is not high. So what if we just said, you know what, let's focus on the quality of the connection for a little bit, right? Let's improve that, how we are connecting with our spouse mentally and emotionally, because that will naturally have its own effect on us. And often it comes in the form of our desire to be intimate, but that's a natural byproduct. It's not a forced thing. It's not something that we're like, hey, if the husband does the dishes one day, that equals desire for sex. And so anytime he's doing the dishes, he's looking over like, hey, are you ready? But if we take the pressure off of the quantity aspect and really dive into the details of the quality, that's a game changer. So I really want to offer that as an option to really consider, like, hey, yeah, I think the quality is what needs some attention for a time, for a moment. And sometimes when we're thinking or we hear me offer this option, like, hey, let's focus on the quality, our mind will become very dramatic, right? Like, oh, now we're only going to focus on quality and we're never going to address the quantity. Well, that's also not true, right? But our brains are very dramatic and our brains think in extremes and opposites. So if we start focusing on the quality, our brain's going to go, oh, no, now we'll never focus on quantity. So you need to be able to tell your brain to pause and say, we're going to circle back around to the quantity. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. Don't worry, brain. We're going to get to the quantity, but we're going to focus on quality for just a little bit of time, right? Give your brain that modifier of it's temporary. We're going to look at this because we haven't looked at this. We've been so focused on the quantity that we have really overlooked the quality. So let's focus on that for a little bit. Okay. Another top fear is that porn will be the answer, right? Just watch porn together and then you guys will be aroused and then you're going to want to have sex, right? We think that porn will be given as the solution. But what if that's not true? And I'm going to give everyone a caution here because actually, this is one of those things that if you were to seek help from a therapist, some therapists actually offer this as a solution. And so you really do have to be careful with this one. And I would say maybe before you ever do try to seek outside help, that you would question this particular if that is against your values. And after, you know, having studied these kinds of topics and knowing the effects of porn on the brain and that it actually does rewire the brain and not in a good way, I would really want to encourage couples to not seek porn as the solution to intimacy challenges. I would really love to say there are other options to consider. There are other solutions. And so if you are spiritual and you are raised or have values that do not support the viewing of porn, just know that that is not the only solution, but it is one that is sometimes offered. So what can we do if porn isn't the answer, but some people say it is? I want you to really allow your brain to say there are solutions that are that take a no porn approach to intimacy. Coaching is one of them, right? Because this is about the mindset. And it will challenge couples to really look at their mindsets. And so if they don't believe in porn, then a coach will say, you don't have to watch porn as the solution. So I would love to also offer that the way you think about intimacy outside of porn is huge. It is a huge part of the solution. So if you've never done work with a coach, if you've never done thought work, if you've never thought about your own thinking when it comes to sex, then I would really, really consider working with a coach because they are going to be the ones that allow you to really look at your own brain, what your own brain is doing, your own relationship with sex outside of porn, so that you can create a better story about that in your own mind, a better belief system. Again, that has nothing to do with porn, right? Sometimes I have clients come to me that say, I don't even want to be naked in front of my husband because that's porn, right? And so sometimes we have very interesting thoughts about what porn is. We think anything is considered porn that has to do with nudity, even if it has even if it's like with our own spouse and we're like, that's just bad. So a coach will really allow you to look at your own thoughts about it and really dive into those details that are unique and specific for you. It's way more effective. So I would really, really consider coaching if you don't want porn to be the solution. Okay, another top fear is that, hey, if I am going to seek help with intimacy, then they're just going to tell me, the therapist or the counselor or the mentors or whoever it is, they're just going to tell me, You've got to be super adventurous. You got to get kinky. You got to do all the crazy sex positions. You got to spice things up. Everything's got to be new and novel. And it really will only come down to the physicality of the intercourse, right? This is mainly a fear for women, the wife, and she's already struggling with that stuff. So the last thing she wants is to think that more of that is the solution. And so what I would like to offer is something called the intimacy trek. And if you haven't heard of that, and if you don't know what it is, I would really love for you to consider taking my deep dive course on intimacy. You can find it on my website. It's the emotional intimacy effect. It's called Intimacy Beyond Sex. It's a deep dive course. And in that, we talk about the intimacy trek. It's a sequence of what a woman goes through so she even gets to the phase of having desire and being aroused. Most women don't even get to that phase. And if they don't, then they have sex just for their husbands or out of duty. That sex is not pleasurable. Sometimes it hurts. Why would we want to go back for more of something that actually is hurting our body physically? But when we're able to learn about the intimacy track, learn about the steps, the prerequisites that a woman needs so her body actually goes into the physical phase of arousal, where her body prepares for sex in an awesome way, a healthy way, then the sex is more enjoyable and it's easy to want to return for more of that. It's a game changer. But if we don't know what those steps are, if we can't name them, it is going to be a challenge. So if you don't know what the intimacy trek is, I would highly recommend looking at this deep dive course that's on my website, shelly.andersoncoaching.com. Going along with that is, if you haven't listened to my episode from last week, episode number 187, it's called Best Sex Ever. It's one of my longer episodes, and I dive into the very normal sexual experience that I had with my husband. I don't go into the details, but there's nothing out of the ordinary about that relationship. It was very calm. It was very tame. There were no crazy sex positions in that. There wasn't anything novel or new. It was actually just pretty typical sex. But what was happening beforehand is what made the difference, is what made that the best sex ever. It has nothing to do with these things that we have fears of, or that maybe is taught out in the world that we need to have high levels of novelty and crazy sex positions for sex to be amazing. We don't. We need to know that. Women need to know that there are other ways. So really consider learning about what the intimacy trek is. That is a solution that all women can get behind. Okay, another top fear is that we're going to, and again, this is probably mainly for the women, we're going to have to give in to our husband's fantasies. We're going to have to use sex toys, and that we're going to have to do things that we don't want to do. That's a big fear. We think that if we go to get help with intimacy, that is going to be given to us as the answer. And we don't want that answer. We're not ready for that answer. We're already not enjoying sex. The last thing we want to do is take it to next levels when we don't even enjoy like level one. We don't want to jump up to level 99. So when you are able to take a coach approach, then we don't have to have that fear, right? It's not going to ask us to do things that we are totally against, that we have beliefs against. There are way better ways to really enjoy intimacy with our spouse that has nothing to do with fantasies and with toys and doing all the things we don't want to do. We can't just jump into that. We're going to really struggle with intimacy even more if we go against our own will just to satisfy our husband. We can't do that. We have to have our own reasons to be intimate. And if we haven't defined those reasons, if we don't know what those reasons are, if we say, like, I just have no reasons, then all aspects of intimacy are going to be challenging. So we really have to do this work for ourselves. This is something I really see women struggle with a lot, as they feel like they want to make an improvement. They know that they want things to be better for themselves, but then sometimes they're trying to improve things for their husbands and kind of are like half and half, right? When we're able to do the thought work that is the foundation for intimacy, it's a game changer. It changes a lot of aspects of intimacy for us, because we start to gain some mental skills to know how to process the very adult world of having a sexual relationship. So if you feel like maybe you don't have those skills of how to challenge your own brain, really, this is the time to say, you know what? Yeah, I need those mental skills. And I don't need to have those fears. Like, Shelley is putting my fears to rest, right? Like, now it can be the time for me to get this help. Okay, let's move on to the last fear. This one is really interesting, because a lot of times when I get clients, especially the women, they're like, I'm really afraid that if I start learning more about intimacy and trying new skills to help improve the intimacy with my husband, that I am going to become somebody else, right? That I'm going to become a sex addict. And I don't want to become that. I don't want to become a sex addict. I don't want to become some sex monster. And if I start learning more and diving into this topic, I'm going to create a monster within myself. And I don't want that. I don't want to go sex nuts, right? This is, again, our brain being very dramatic. It's taking a concept of, hey, let's get a little help, to turning it into something very extreme. Of instead of saying, like, okay, I'm going to get a little help and this is going to make a difference, it says, oh, don't get help because you'll become a sex addict. Which is just not true. I, just from personal experience, I've been doing this for like 8 years now almost. I think about sex all throughout the day. I coach about sex. I talk about sex. I teach about sex. I read up on sex. I look for articles about sex. I experiment. And I am happy to say I am not anywhere even close to being a sex addict in any way, shape, or form. I did not become a sex monster. I did not go sex nuts. Sex did not take over my life. I'm a mom of 5 kids. I'm very much actively being a mother and doing all the mom things, taking my kids to all their things, being in tune with them. I haven't hired any male hookers. I haven't stopped paying bills. I don't watch porn all day long and stop doing other things. I have zero signs of sex addiction. And yet I think about sex a lot because this is my profession. So it's really interesting that our brain will tell us, hey, don't get help because you might become a sex addict. Well, it's very hard for humans to become something they don't want to become. I've never wanted to become a sex addict, but I've wanted to improve the intimacy between myself and my husband. Yeah, that desire in me is strong. It is high. The desire to improve that and allow it to reach its potential and to really tap into that, that part is high in me. Has that made me leave all my values? No, I've left none of them. Has that made me go against my own self when in the bedroom? Nope. Never. All these things, these very dramatic extremes that our brain will go to, none of those things have happened. And I'm thinking about sex a lot throughout the day. So I really want to put your mind at ease. I hope you're really allowing your brain to absorb this. If you don't want to become a sex addict, then getting help is not going to force you to become a sex addict or to go sex nuts. It's very hard to become something we don't want to become. I also want to point out that if I get this a lot with clients where they're like, I'm just not interested in sex, right? They're giving themselves that message that they aren't interested. They could never become interested. And I also want to challenge that and say, if you're not interested in it, just getting interested in it is also not going to make you something you have no desire to be, right? You're not going to, again, jump to the extreme of going sex nuts. And now you want to cheat on your spouse because you're learning how to improve intimacy. So we really have to challenge our own negative extreme thinking that is taking place right here in our mind and be able to have that intervention and say, okay, brain, I see what you're doing. But that's not really going to be the case, right? Part of that is to really take a closer look at your own reasons for being intimate. And this is mainly for the women, but also for the husbands. They're not used to doing this work. They're just used to thinking like having a lot of sex is manly and I want to be a man. But when you start doing coaching, we get a little bit deeper and say like, let's look into this a little bit more. Let's dive deeper. Let's get some mature thoughts on board and thoughts that are actually powerful and meaningful and significant to each individual spouse. When a wife is just trying to improve the sex life only for her husband, that's going to be very short-lived. She has to really have her own reasons. And the same for the husband. When he's just like, fine, I'll go to coaching. Fine, I'll go to therapy. Just so my wife will be happy, right? That's also going to be short-lived unless we actually do the work for ourselves, knowing that our spouse will benefit from it. Another like form of this, an example would be like, hey, I also do some reading on just physical health, right? Like the benefits of walking or running or having an exercise routine, like doing some like a HIIT, high intensity interval training. Also the types of foods that we eat, right? I'm interested in that a little bit, not highly interested, but I'm interested in it. And so as I read up about how to make improvements for myself, I have not become some crazy addict when it comes to running or exercising or about the foods I'm eating, right? I'm looking for improvement and health and balance and things that work for me. But just because I'm reading up on it and learning and trying new skills doesn't mean I've gone to the extreme of becoming some, you know, running monster, because I've never wanted to be that. I just want to be healthy. So we really have to challenge our brain to say, I'm probably not going to become some kind of fanatic, right? I'm just going to be able to keep it in balance and just make these small little improvements, small little changes here and there. And as we get to the end of this episode, I really want to talk about this final thing, this final fear that is included in this one that we're talking about, that we were going, that we might become something we don't want to be. We also sometimes have this fear that we're going to have to change everything about us, right? If I try to work on improving intimacy, I'm going to have to change everything about myself because I really have no interest in intimacy at all. And now I'm going to have to be super interested and I'm going to have to spend all this time. That's not the case either, right? The thing I love about coaching is sometimes we just need 1%. Just that one drop of change, not change everything about us. Oh my gosh, how challenging is that? No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to just change one thing at a time. This is my favorite. By small and simple things, or great things come to pass, right? Just one small thing. We just need one new thought that is better about intimacy than the thoughts, all the negative thoughts that we have been having for years and years and years. We just need one new thought that feels better. That's not changing everything about us. That's not changing our whole personality. That's not trying to change everything about our spouse, which is ineffective, right? It's not going against ourselves. It's not like, oh, I've got to just only use willpower, which eventually is going to die off, right? This is just changing one thought, and we can do that. We have the power to change one thought. So I'd like to invite anyone who's listening, if you are connecting with any of these fears, to say, you know what? Okay, Shelly talked about these fears. Yes, I have some of these. It's been preventing me from taking that step to improve the intimacy for myself and between me and my spouse. I want you to really consider taking a step, one step towards getting that help. Either sign up for the course, sign up for my membership, sign up for a free session, sign up for one-on-one coaching, but take one step to improve the intimacy that you have within yourself and that you share with your spouse. It is not hard to make amazing progress just in taking one step forward. Because remember, the more you restore this type of intimacy with yourself, the more you restore it with your spouse. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you will join me again next week.